talk delivered in May 2009 on the occasion of Pujya Sri Ramchandraji Maharaj's birthday celebrations 2009, titled Oozing Canopy, printed in Satyapadam 2010 Deepavali issue.
My dear fellow travelers in the path, on the auspicious occasion of the 110th birthday of our beloved Master Pujya Babuji Maharaj, I offer my salutations to all the devotees of the Master. Master used to say that when all of my associates gather at one spot, it becomes a temple for me, and it is their duty to make their hearts as the temple themselves. I feel blessed to see so many temples in one place, all presenting the Master in their sanctum. My reverential attitude towards the Master thus gets transferred to each and every one of you assembled here. My humble pranams to all of you. Throughout the ages and in almost all civilizations and societies, regular meditation has been considered a praiseworthy practice by those who are wise. But today's times are unique. With the increased pace of life and the many more responsibilities we must shoulder, most of us do not have the luxury of spending years of cloistered solitude. Gradually increasing our spiritual capabilities, we find there is a craving in general for that elusive peace, and humanity is crying out for inner fulfillment, for awakening, which we understand is the only way to gain peace. Simultaneously, the paradigm war of love versus fear is being fought in people's minds and hearts with a greater intensity than ever before in our civilization's history. It appears that humanity needs massive amounts of love and divine wisdom to be poured into their hearts so that the message of the Master spreads throughout the world. Master used also to say that the capacity of the vessel, heart, has to be increased. Having Him in our hearts, we cannot afford to waste time more, and it is now for each of us to increase our spiritual bandwidth, if I am permitted to borrow the term, and the size of our spiritual containers. This is a promise we have to keep with the Master. No aspirant is less endowed to do this onerous work, and everyone is called upon by the Master to offer the universal prayer at 9 p.m. Those who do not practice PAM and yet are pious and devoted and meditate in their own manner also do lot of good to the world. The law of attraction applies there too, and spiritual good is surely enhancing by their efforts also. But our efforts are directed not only for the good of ourselves, but for the good of our family and our spiritual brothers and sisters, and this is further aided by the help we get from the Divine Master. We, because we are blessed with the company of the Master, due to the pranahuti that was offered to us, I appeal, should try to live in the environment of the Master, who is shedding light all around. We have been the beneficiary due to the presence of the Master in us, and we are duty bound to enable many others to have Him in their hearts. We are enjoying the pure joy and happiness that accrues from loosening the knots of frustration and consequently dwelling in an atmosphere of expanded awareness. Such a joy is something that swells as we share. Master asserted that during the days of celebration of the Master's spirituality would be oozing from the canopies of the Divine. We do experience the same and are very conscious of that. Yet, after being immersed in the joy of the showers of Divine grace, we very soon get into a state that is in a different plane. We seem to quickly forget the state in which we were and cave into the pressures of the mundane world. To be precise, we seem to drift from the divine realm to that of the undivine. If we then contemplate over our condition, we feel exhausted and frustrated with ourselves. If only we continue to live in the atmosphere of the Master, we would be feeling the rarefied air around us and be relaxed and blissful. The difference between living in the atmosphere of Master and the atmosphere of the mundane should be very clear. To serious aspirants, one has to not only be with the Master during meditation, but live with Him always. Then the very presence of Master would enfold us. It would be all divine light around us. It will be one of gratitude. We then feel solace, regeneration, inspiration, and grace. It will be all-embracing love. I am too small to describe the atmosphere of Master that is vibrant with us now. How can anyone possibly name all the many facets of Master? When we thus live in the atmosphere of the Master, we do feel a vibrancy around us. Some inaudible voice is felt. If we do not seek for the messages in the traditional sense of the spoken word, we would be feeling the current of Master. When we listen to that voice with intent, care, and with faith in the Master, we feel the call of the homeland. But be sure that you do not act or react. Just listen to Him and you are in the homeland already. Whatever might be the problems of the mundane life, all appear to get temporarily left behind. The voice of the Master alone matters. Then that whisper cracks open the most hardened heart, settle the most troubled mind, and heal the most distressed of the emotional states. The more we listen, the more we are soothed on all issues of our being. The whisper of the Master transforms us into the incandescent lover of the Master, and this for all of our lives. This enables us to live even as an ordinary person. But then we find all the people are well organized and harmonious and move about doing their jobs with joy. I surely do not want to fool all of you, saying we would be then having the same experience as we have during meditation. That environment is a sanctum of Master, and the world of mundane life cannot be confused with that, for this is only the periphery of the temple. Still, There is the lingering presence of Master everywhere and in every activity. There are many activities and things out here which do not smell sweet, and the fragrance felt inside is missing. Even so, with the voice of the Master that is ever present, no matter what the outer circumstances and conditions of life, living in the atmosphere of Master is like living in a garden. That is the real life that a real man should lead. Master asserted that, "My object of life is that not only every one of you present here, but all the humanity should become the real life personified, that is life in life, as I often say. Many of you have not yet fully seen the grace of the beautiful flowers of the garden and have not tasted their fragrance. I pray that you all may taste it to the full. This is the thing for which the kings of the ancient used to leave their thrones and go to the forest for penances. I have been a spiritual seeker all my life. Ever since Master took me into his fold, I have been making great strides in the path, coming closer and closer to the bosom and enjoying the warmth of the close hugging as I get into the state of vision of the Master. In everything that exists, I find the sweetness of his heart. I no more need to stretch out for him, because I find him being in my heart and others too around me, wherever I go or whatever I do. I hear his whisper, always replacing my concerns and anxieties whenever they arise with love. We make our life what it is by the attitude towards whatever we have our attention on. We have chosen each and every day to live in the patch of our own making or dwell in the garden of God. Master spoke, "Since most of the brothers and sisters assembled here today have in some way or the other a lurking desire in their minds to achieve God or the ultimate. When one who has got a mind and a strong, sincere desire to reach the state of realization, he will surely get the means to take him to the state of realization." This maxim goes, "Where there is a will, there is a way." Idea, when it leaves the boundary, becomes thought. When thought becomes stronger, the activity for realization develops. One who dives deep gets the pearls. The burning desire for realization brings the goal nearer. If anybody wants that he should be benefited, he should encourage himself to cultivate right faith, right cognition, and right morals. My dear co-travelers, this is the gateway to the garden of the Master. I remember once, while we were discussing the system of the Master, one of the aspirants asked me about how we enter the garden of God. I promised to answer later, and I hope the aspirant who may be here got the message of the Master. I beckon all of you to enter the gates of the beautiful garden of the Master and feel the abiding presence of the Master in every weed and flower of the ambrosial garden. Pranam.